Apologies for the technical errors that we had till now, since we're talking about something which is so special, Asim Harambam, the 39th time. Obviously, there were some manis, v'yikuvim, some obstacles out there. Today is a very, very special day. On the one hand, this is the beginning of the Bein HaMetzarim, the beginning of the most difficult tkufa period in the calendar, in the year. And it's a time of sorrow and agony and churban. And at the same time, we're getting together right now to celebrate Simchas Torah, because we're completing the entire Torah, Mishneh Torah, Mekabez LaTorah Shebal Peh Kula, the Sefer of the Rambam, which completes the entire Torah. We are celebrating a Simchas Torah on the one hand, and a Haschala of churban on the other hand, which is really consistent with what Chassidus tells us, that Bepnimius, all the negative days, all the days of sorrow, or Bepnimius, a Yoyim Ratzon LaHashem, like the Pasuk says, is really an Eis Ratzon. It is not fully revealed yet, and will be revealed when Mashiach comes. And today we're Zeicher that we see that through the concept of making a Siyum, just like there's a Minig by Chassidim that we try to make a Siyum in the 9 days. We're already beginning it even earlier, and we're starting on Shivas of Atamas to complete the Rambam. We will not conclude the Rambam and start a new Machzer, and we will follow along with a Shir about COVID-19. Second wave, according to Halacha. The Rambam concludes Hilchas Malachim, or the way it says in some prints, Hilchas Malachim al Chamisayim and Melach HaMashiach. The very last Halacha, the Rambam says, Va'isa Ezman at that time, the time of Mashiach, which we hope will be this time. Lo Yisham, Lo Yirav, there won't be hunger. Veloy Melchaman, there won't be war. Veloy Kinav Atachas, because people won't be fighting with each other and there won't be hunger, therefore there's no reason for jealousy or competition. Shatova, the goodness in this world, Tio Mushpas Harba, will be an abundance, a flow of so much of it. So much so, V'cholam Adanim, even things that are not just plain Toiva, they're delicacies, Mitsuyim, they'll be so common, Ka'ofar, like dust, both in terms of quantity, there'll be so much of it like dust, and also in the meaning that dust is something which we have no need, Dover She'em Be'tzoydich, like we say when we Mevatla or Chametz. It should be after the Adal, like a dust of the earth, something which we have no need. We will have no need for delicacies. Why is that so? Because what will we be involved in? All will be involved in is to know the knowledge of Hashem. And the Rambam doesn't just say loy ella, not only, but bilvad. Within the knowledge of Hashem will be a stage of bilvad, only Hashem and nothing else. Elafichal, because we won't have all these obstacles on the side. We won't have technical errors on our technological connections. But we also won't have hunger and war, and we won't have to worry about delicacies and goodness. We'll just be involved with pure preoccupation with Hashem. Therefore, the Rambam says, Yi Yisrael Chacham G'doylem, Yidim will be extremely wise people because they'll be occupied with the true Chachma. And this knowledge will lead them to the Yoydim Dvarim Astuvim, they will know things that are hidden. So much so, V'yasigu Da'azboyrim K'yikai Chadim, they'll be able to comprehend the knowledge of Hashem, who is their creator, to the maximum that a person could humanly grasp. Shenema, and Rambam says, this is based on the Pasuk, Hashem, the whole world will be full with the knowledge of Hashem. And the Rambam brings the last three words of the Pasuk, and with this it concludes the Sefer, Kamayim Liyom Achasim, the way water covers the ocean. The same way water covers the seabed. All you see is water, La'asad Lavi, all we will see is the knowledge of Hashem. And this connects very well with the beginning of Rambam. Askifin Haskolah La'ashlama, we always link the end with the beginning. The Rambam starts off Sefer Amada with the pasuk Meshoy Chazdecha Liyodecha V'Tzidkoscha Liyishrei Lev, that Hashem's kindness goes to those who know Hashem, which is connected to the theme of the end of Sefer Yad, knowing Hashem, and the theme of the beginning of Sefer Yad, Sefer Amada, Hilchas Yisoyda Atoyda, Yisoyda Yisoyda Zahamad HaChachmas, the foundation of all foundations, and the pillar of every other wisdom in the world, is Leida Shiyasha Matzi Rishon, to know that there's an existence who's the first existence of all existences, which is Hashem. He brings every other existence into being. Anything that exists anywhere in the heaven and earth, or anything in between heaven and earth, which means basically every single thing, has zero existence, and its only power of existence is only because the truth of Hashem exists. Because Hashem exists, we appreciate something else exists. And during this time of COVID, people have come to the realization that we can't rely anymore on any of the systems that we ordinarily rely on. We reach a stage where we really, everybody understands, Nilu Chachma Teva, everybody understands that the only thing that guides us in our life is Hashem. We follow Hashem's Hiroyus and Torah, doctors, professors, governments, all the systems are falling apart, and the only system that we believe and we know is true and constant and watches us and supervises all the time is Amitis Yematzai, and because of his existence, that's where everything else exists. There's nothing to be scared of. Darke Hateva, because we know that the Darke Hateva are all in the hands of Hashem. We're lucky, Baruch Hashem, that we're celebrating on Shivas Tamuz, the Siyam HaRambam. We're celebrating our Simchas Torah and Shivas Tamuz. Simchas Torah is when the Luchas Achreinus were given, and the Luchas Achreinus were given after 40 days of Moshe going up in the mountain. Shivas Tamuz is actually when he broke the first set of Luchas, and for us, this is when we finished the 39th cycle of Rambam and starting the 40th cycle of Rambam. It has been said a number of times, and it's worthwhile repeating, that in Svarim it says that when Mashiach comes, the Bein HaMetzarim, the 3 weeks will be days of Yom Tov, Shavuos HaBetamuz will be the first day of Yom Tov, and Tisha B'Av will be the last day. And the days in between will be like Chol HaMoed, and in that, God will be Yisrael, responded and said, no, Tisha B'Av will be the first day of Yom Tov. Shavuos HaBetamuz will be the last day of Yom Tov, and all the other days will be Chol HaMoed. Last year, we started the Machzor of Rambam, Tisha B'Av time. Now we're finishing the Machzor and Shavuos HaBetamuz. It's been a full long year of learning Sefer Yad, Sefer Rambam. When we're entering into the Yom Tov, we're Simchas Torah, Shavuos HaBetamuz, and we're going into Chai Tamuz, starting the next cycle of Rambam, which we conclude on Gimel Tamuz, which the Rebbe says the Bepnimi is Gimel Tamuz, is the Indian, is on the same, is the first day Pesach, but at the same time, the first the day of Tisha B'Av. Because At Bash, Pesach, and Tishba fall on the same day of the week, and Gimel Tamuz falls on the same day of the week as well. Gimel Tamuz is when the Free Rebbe was sent to exile, but at the same time, that was the beginning of his Geula. So the Eved Shelfim will see the Geula in Mitzvah Hashem before we conclude the 40th cycle, before we even start the 40th cycle, when we conclude the 39th cycle, and we'll have the Rambam in a way command the Manach B'Kisei. Now everybody's carrying the Rambam in their pocket on their Palm Pilots, which doesn't exist anymore, on their iPads, on the Androids, it's laying in their pocket. If a person learns 40 times, the Gemara says, that's like it's manach b'kisse, it's laying in your pocket. So let's use this time and make a achlata that the 40th cycle of Rambam will be with the newest chachas that we should really understand and learn the Rambam properly. Because today's shir is together with Hasim and Rambam, we'll try to put an extra focus on the shita of the Rambam and how the Rambam says about all these inyanim of refuah. The Rambam was known that Bichlal in his Sfarim, he takes into account a lot what modern medicine, what in his days was modern medicine, says. Rambam himself was a great doctor. The Rambam wrote Sfarim in Refuah, Pirkei Moshe. In Yonim of Refuah, he wrote letters in Refuah. So we'll focus on the Rambam's position primarily amongst other Sifrei Halacha B'negeya to how do we approach the so-called COVID-19 second wave, if we can call it a second wave. By way of introduction, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos that Rav Huna told his son, Rabbi, why don't you go to Rav Chista? Why, my time of Leshchich is coming to Rav Chista? Why are you not so frequently attending Rav Chista Shiurim, the Mechad, the Shmaitse? Because his Shmaitse, his learning is very, very sharp. So Rabbi told his son, Rav Huna, I should go to Rav Chista. He talks Mila da Alma, he talks worldly matters. He tells us advice about Inyon Ha'olam. So Rav Huna told him, he's involved b'chayiv b'briyasa. He's involved in things associated with the life of people. V'at amrit b'milu d'alma, you're calling this worldly matters. Kol shkin zilagabe, how much more so you should go to him? If I'm telling you should go to him because he's teaching you Torah, how much more so you should go to him when he's teaching you darkei ha'olam associated with refuah? It's not just milu d'alma, it's not world's matters associated with the world. This is chayiv b'briyasa, this is the life of people. A Talmud Chachem, a Rav, a Rosh Yeshiva, a Magid Shir, and for that matter, every individual has an achrayis, not only to focus on Mechaled and Shmaitzeh, learning Torah, but to see how really Chayi Debriyasa, the life of people, isn't Mila Da'am. These are not worldly matters. These are Mila Deshmai, these are words of Torah. Torah has what to say about everything. In fact, the fact that we listen according to Torah to doctors is much more than medicine tells us to listen to doctors. First of all, medicine never tells you to listen to doctors because medicine can't tell you to do anything. Torah can instruct you. Medicine cannot be authoritative by nature. Yesh chachma bagoyim tamen, Torah bagoyim al tamen. Wisdom exists amongst the nations. Torah does not exist amongst nations because wisdom is a theory. Theory is not practice. It's a beautiful theory. And then you have a choice to run your own life whichever way you want. And as has been famously said, that Newton was not a triangle. And the fact that I'm a mathematician does not make me a triangle. And the fact that someone teaches medicine does not indicate the fact that he's going to act according to medicine. The greatest doctors will sit in the emergency room and point out to people why their lungs are the way they are because of the way they smoked, and show you all the beautiful studies. And as soon as they finish giving the presentation, they'll walk out and take a cigarette. Loikara of Zel Zed, there's no shachs to one or the other. And this, which is also puts to rest the foolish claim that people say, but so-and-so is a big doctor and he's done A, B, and C. The fact that a doctor acts a certain way is totally irrelevant to Torah. What's negay is, what does Torah have to say? So Torah says we should listen to what the doctors are saying according to Chacham Serefuah, and like we said, much more than what Chacham Serefuah says. Chacham Serefuah is based on probability, histabrus, statistics. Torah tells you to treat these as facts. It's not just probability. Torah is a hira and gives you guidance and tells you that you have to listen to what the doctors say. The Torah is the one that gives permission for the doctor to cure. And once the Torah gives permission, then what the doctor says becomes a message of Torah. And it's poil. Torah has an effect on Metzias HaOlam. We learn this from the Pasuk, Yerushalmi, Lekel, Gomer, Eloi. When the Torah says something, it affects the world. The doctor, Alpi Torah, on his own, has no right to tell us what to do. The doctor has zero bearing when he says something. But when the doctor is telling us something based on Chachma Serefua, and it's consistent with Torah, then this becomes the Metzias HaOlam. And as it's said in Svarim, that when a doctor goes in to see the patient, the Malach goes along with him. And the greater the doctor, the greater the Malach. And the big professor, then it's Malach Rafal himself going in. And all of that indicates the fact that it's not the doctor per se, it's the reshus that the Torah gives to the doctor, much more than a doctor would have on his own. The Torah tells us when it comes to Yom Kippur, which is Chayv HaKrisis, when it comes to Chilul Shabbos, which is Inyanim of Skila, we rely on what the doctors say. And Torah has a lot to say about how to define what a doctor is. There's a chlala doctor, there's a doctor which is a baki, there's a doctor which is a mumche, an expert. The Aruch HaShulchan says we should seek out only doctors which have a rishoyin al bichuk ha-medina, which have a license according to the government licenses. The fact that someone who's a quacky, has quacky theories, tells you a theory doesn't necessarily mean it might be his right, but the Torah does not necessarily give that credence. There's no standards. He could say whatever he wants. No one could sue him for his advice. Again, in Bezdin, maybe we'll have what to say about it, but we're talking about Havdil in the secular system. There's no study supporting what he says. There's no oversight. And he could just say whatever he wants. Says the Aruch HaShulchan has to be a doctor who has a Rishoyin al pi chuk ha-medina. There's a license in the system, and someone is being held accountable. The doctor does not have to be Jewish, even if a guy has an opinion to say about Yom Kippur or about Shabbos, so long that he understands the risk that you're taking, and he understands why this is important to you, and then he gives you a medical assessment, it's valid. If two doctors give an opinion, if two doctors say someone has to eat on Yom Kippur, and 100 doctors say a person does not have to eat on Yom Kippur, even if these 100 doctors are yosem mumchim umeflagim b'chachma, much greater experts, they're muflig, they're extreme in their wisdom, they really are highly knowledgeable, and the patient himself also says he doesn't have to eat, because the halacha says we take into account very much what the patient says, because lev yedeya modas nafshay, a person knows exactly how he feels. So the patient goes against the doctor, we would take into account what the patient says if he says to eat. But if the patient says, I don't need to eat, two doctors say he does need to eat, over 100 expert top professionals say he doesn't need to eat, the halacha is we listen to those two doctors. And I'm not sure that according to Chachma Sarefua that would be the case. So like we said, Torah, it gives much more credence to the medical opinion than the medical opinion itself gives itself. What's the situation we're facing right now in terms of COVID-19? So in a lot of places, there's been crazy outbreaks. There's been a resurgence of a bunch of new cases in many, many different places. They call it a second wave in other places. Baruch Hashem, New York, well, after unfortunately what we suffered, Baruch Hashem ala toive and ala hepecha toive, we bless Hashem for everything. But we've suffered tremendous avedus benefesh, over 40 people now in Shchona. Baruch Hashem, in New York City, things have calmed down tremendously over the last who knows how many weeks, which is why the doctors told us we could somewhat calmed down with based on with certain restrictions. But now we've seen a couple of new cases, both in the community, in the Catskills, in New Jersey. There's other cases that even didn't make it to the doctor, but we hear them. One person is telling another person, I know so-and-so who's kach v'kach, this is the case. People who've been, who have tested positive in the past, have had antibodies, people who have had a high level of antibodies and were plasma donors. And now they become reinfected and were able to infect other people too. There's some cases, like we said, which are not formally registered. And I know of a case, I didn't verify this, but pretty much firsthand, secondhand, I should say, where someone went to a shul to speak. He speaks on Shabbos in a shul. That shul was closed down because someone was tested positive. He was also in that shul. He came back to our shchuna. And he says, yeah, but I'm okay. But I got a fever the next day, but it's not COVID related. How do you know? Because the fever disappeared after a few days. Now, obviously, that's shtus in the havolim. And because we know that some people don't even have symptoms. And certainly if a person has symptoms, they should get tested. Now, I don't know if this person is COVID or not, but the likelihood of him being COVID is definitely over 50% because he wasn't in proximity to a first degree contact with someone that had COVID, and he had symptoms afterwards too. And in many other such cases like that, so we have over here, we have in the entire world, this is something which is seemingly reason for concern. Think back to before Purim. Before Purim, people were saying, it's only Wuhan. It's not Crown Heights. Wuhan is not America, and it's definitely not New York, and certainly not Crown Heights. Then it's New Rochelle. New Rochelle is not Crown Heights too. But then Crown Heights had one case, and a second case, and a third case. Well, once there's one case, then there's a chance there's going to be a second or a third, because that's the nature of COVID-19, the nature of the virus. The virus doesn't ask shilas. The virus does not come to the mikveh to hear the mikveh nais, how people, and with their own chachma, decide how it's going to work. It travels from one person to another. That's the nature of the virus. Now, if a couple of people have it, that's a reason for concern. It's almost, so before Purim, we were sitting very, very calm. And unfortunately, we had a terrible wave, which affected us in a very serious way. So the argument goes, now that we're seeing a couple of new cases, one, two, three, whatever the numbers are, we're seeing here, we're seeing in other places. This is something, a reason that we should start taking precautions. Is it like Berlin, 1938, where everybody's sitting relaxed and calm, shanan hashke bevetach, and saying, nothing's going to happen to me, everything will be fine, shalom yi'ali? And unfortunately, we know what happened in Berlin, 1938. And we have history to tell us too, the Spanish flu. The Spanish flu, unfortunately, killed a lot of people. And then when the lockdowns and the restrictions were lifted and people went about and decided everything is fine, Chazar v'heir or Chazar v'hechshech came back much worse than ever before, and it was one of the most deadliest plagues that ever happened. That was 100 years ago, and that's not the only pandemic that we know in history where there's one wave, a second wave, and a third wave. So where we see something has happened, and then we see now new cases. We know that antibodies are declining, and they're declining rapidly. All the studies say that. All our doctors are telling us that. So perhaps this is a reason why should we be concerned. Dr. Weiss tells us, he testifies that the Rebbe told him that during the time of the Spanish flu, the Rebbe said he was learning only with his father. He didn't go out. Now, we think that the Rebbe didn't go to Tzemach HaTmimim for various different reasons. But Dr. Weiss tells us that the Rebbe told him that his father or the Rebbe were concerned for the flu, and therefore they didn't want to go hang out amongst other people, and he stayed at home the whole time to protect himself against the flu. We're now in a situation that we have no clue. We mamish have no clue how this virus operates. As a famous saying has been said a number of times this year, Sfas lo yadayti eshma, Sfas is oisis tafshin pei. This year, tafshin pei, lo yadayti eshma. All we hear this year is lo yadayti. I don't know. That's what we hear all around us. We don't know. We have no idea how this virus is operating. We don't know anything about the age. We think it only affects, hospitalizes people that are over 65. And yet right now, studies came from Eretz Yisrael, from Florida, from other places, that primarily it's affecting and hospitalizing people that are lower than 50. We don't know about minors. Right now, just today, there's been a new report in the country seeing this wave in Eretz Yisrael seeing much more minors. There's this particular sickness, I don't even know if I can pronounce the name properly, Kawasaki, which is a rare sickness which has affected a lot of people in New York and is seemingly related to COVID-19, a lot of kids. We don't know any of this. We don't know anything. It hasn't been studied enough to know anything about this. yet there's a lot of chachamim beinayim who think they know better than every doctor, but what I'm talking now about from a professional level, we don't know. We don't know the long-lasting effects. We don't know people who have recovered from COVID, whether the people who have seriously recovered, those that we make welcome homes for with song and dance, or the people that recover from the minor symptoms, we don't know what long-lasting effects there is in terms of lungs, brain damage, chas v'shalom, et cetera, et cetera. We have no idea. We certainly don't know anything about immunity. We don't know how long this immunity is lasting us. Like I said, we see antibodies declining. We know there's certain concepts of immunity associated with memory. The cells have certain memory. We don't know anything. We're mamash amaratim in this area. And when I say we don't know, I'm not talking about myself because I taka don't know anything. I'm not a doctor. This is not my field. But I'm talking about the professionals are saying they don't know anything. And therefore, people could say that the CDC and the World Health Organization, they said first like this, and then they said like that, we can't trust anyone. That is correct. They're saying to the best of their knowledge of what they know right now. And it's important, it's an achrayis of a professional, of a doctor, of a health specialist to say that this is what he's suggesting based on the information that he has. We don't know about a new mutation. Even if people are immune, if there's a new mutation of the virus, that might be totally different. There's already different studies coming out about different new mutations of the virus that infect more rapidly or less predictable or whatever it is. This is one side of the coin. And we have to be honest to present the second side of the coin. The second side of the coin is, and therefore what? How long can people stay locked down? We can't do this forever. If we don't know, so we can keep on acting that we don't know, people's quality of life is being impacted seriously. The economy has been shot. And the economy is related to medicine because obviously if the economy is down, then the medical system could be down too. Mental risks. People can't handle lockdowns for such a long time. People can't handle all this kind of stuff. And there's also a concept, there's certain reasonable risks that we can take. There's risks that are considered reasonable and risks that are considered unreasonable. People are saying, yeah, it's true, pikuach nefesh, but we have no other options. What should we do? We can't just stay locked up forever. Ad masai, vivul is the shir, which is indeed a true tzaika to the Eivish, we should tell the Eivish to ad masai, vivul is the shir. But the question is, how do we translate that into, again, when this is a halacha shir and halacha lamaisa, how do we know what's an acceptable risk and what's not an acceptable risk? There's also a concept in halacha, and people are arguing this, shoyim ripsoyim Hashem, that when it's dashu b'ram, if nobody's practicing a certain kind of thing, if everybody's engaging in a certain behavior, and nobody's being concerned about the risk, if the common oilam is not concerned, shoyim ripsoyim Hashem, Hashem protects the fools. And looking around Crown Heights, and looking at other from neighborhoods, we see that there is less concern about this risk, to put it mildly, that's a bit of an understatement. So Shem Epesayim Hashem, Hashem protects us, and according to Allah, we're allowed to engage in Sakana, when everybody's engaging in this kind of practice. And then we have all the different chachmei chelam, a bunch of different theories that every individual who manages to put a comment on a website or to have a mikvanized comment has another theory why he thinks he knows better than everything else that's been said so far. So that's also, maybe we should take into account those theories too. So we look around people, we have different types of people. We have people that are mugei lev, pachdonim, fearful people. They always get scared of everything. There's a cockroach in the room, they jump too. And they're always worried, who knows, chas v'shalom, what will happen. Everything's a catastrophe. And then we're people that are mitzei lev, people that are brave people, and they're not worried about anything. Like the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Deos, there are people that are rach levav and people that are amitz lev. And the Rambam tells us there's deis shoynos, there's different types of temperaments, whether it's affected by their hormones, by their personality, by their genes, whether it's nature or nurture, but people act different ways, their temperament is different. And the Rambam tells us also that there are people that are, yes, that are more scared, and they less prepared to take risks, and there's people that are prepared to take more risks. Zog the Rambam that the derech of Torah is derech emtzoi. We have to be balanced. And the Rambam brings a pasuk, Palais magal raglecha b'chol b'rachecha yikoinu, weigh out your ways, your options. Weigh it out in such a way it should be balanced. There's a normative, reasonable approach. Like we said before, there's something called reasonable risks and unreasonable risks. And the Rambam says this in many places, not only in Hilchos Deos too, this appropriate way of behavior. What happens is when we start going into extremes, the language becomes very extreme. And we've had that a couple of months ago when the Magefa was at its peak. We had people using the term roidif, roitzeach, if you are engaging in a practice that I think you shouldn't engage in, or even that professionals think you shouldn't engage in, I'm going to call you a retzeich and a reidiv. And therefore, I'm allowed to call the police and master on you. And then in response, the person who does that becomes a meiser. And if he's a meiser, then it's a mitzvah to kill him. So everybody's accused of killing and chas v'shalom killing too. And that's extremely, extreme language, doesn't help anybody in any way, shape, or form. There are obviously different ways of thinking about this. And it's important not to be judgmental of anyone. We need to be able to be dan l'kav schus, particularly in this time. We need to have a lot of achtus in how we talk and how we act and how we judge other people. There's no reason to look down on a person that's wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. It's not about judging people. We're talking about the correct behavior. It's not about other people. We should stop thinking about other people. People are looking at other people's masks. The mask is crooked. Well, if you think someone else's mask is crooked, then maybe something is crooked about you. You should stop thinking about how other people's masks are crooked. Guess what? I could take you to neighborhoods where none of the masks are crooked, are worn crookedly, because they're not wearing masks. So, Baruch Hashem, they're wearing masks. Maybe they're not wearing it properly. And it's important to wear the mask properly, but it's much more important that we should put a mask on our mouth and a mask protecting our brain if we should start thinking positively about other Yidden. So we are discussing now not about what people do, but what the Derech Al-Pi Torah is. Al-Pi Torah, bitachin means we have to trust in Hashem and not be scared. Loy lefached v'loy lehafted. We're not supposed to be scared, and we're not supposed to instill fear in others. It's a terrible thing to instill fear in people. And at the same time, on a technical level, the Torah wants us to follow the instructions that Dr. gives us, like all the halachas of Shulchan Aruch. So it's not about making people scared. That's not what it's about. It's not about putting people in a stage of panic, which isn't healthy in its own right. That's not the Torah approach. We trust in Hashem, but the bitachin is not supposed to replace our behavior. Our behavior should be like every other din of Shulchan Aruch. We listen to what doctors tell us. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Deis, Heyois haguf bari v'shalom, or some people say Havayos haguf bari v'shalom. The fact that a body should be healthy and complete, Midarkei Hashem, is one of the ways of Hashem, or the Rebbe tells us we should read it, Midarkei Avodas Hashem, that's one of the ways of serving Hashem. And it appears from the Rambam that when we make sure that our body remains healthy, we are mekayim a mitzvah saseh v'halachta v'drachav, of engaging in the ways of Hashem. We will also mekayim a mitzvah v'haftal rach kamecha, when we engage in some practices that don't endanger other people. We're mekayim the mitzvah of achai behem, v'ashivoy saloi, and many other such mitzvahs. I'll say this in other words, and maybe it's a bit blunt, this terminology. Some people would prefer, chas v'shalom, I don't think there are such kind of people, but in concept, perhaps, theoretically, people might prefer that we have a case or two that's serious, a new case that's serious, and I can prove the point that it's really serious. But that is obviously a false way of thinking. If we find out that Baruch Hashem, this quote-unquote scare isn't real, everybody would be happier. And the fact that you were wearing a mask over the last week based on the Eroes HaTorah, like a religious Jew, that is a mitzvah that you did. You became connected to Hashem. If you want to talk schar or English language, you get schar for that, for doing that. And the wearing a mask is nothing to do with whether there is a risk or there is no risk. The doctors base it on risk or not, but we as Shlomi Yidden wear the mask because that's the hurrah of Torah that we should listen to what the doctors say. And even if l'mafreya we find out that really there was no risk and it was an error, we did the right thing of Torah. And let me give an example. During the Gulf War, the Rebbe promised us that Yidden and Eretz Yisrael have nothing to fear. It's the safest place. There won't be chemical warfare. They have nothing what to worry. And so the question became, the government is giving out gas masks to people, and they're telling people to make themselves a miklat, a bunker where they should go down to. Should we go into bunkers? Should we take the gas masks? Should we wear gas masks? Or should we go on top of our roofs and dance and sing Sisu v'Simchu and walk out into the streets and not be scared of any potential harm that is coming from the Iraqi dictator? And the Rebbe's response was, Al tifresh min ha-tzibur, lama tisrol. If this is what, you don't have to show off that you're different than everybody else. If the government agencies are distributing masks, you should take masks. So let us understand, we have a haftacha mufureshes from the Rebbe that will be safe. And yet people are told they should take masks. And I presume it means to wear the mask too. So how do you feel when you wear that mask? I'm wearing a mask, which I know is a total waste of time, because the Rebbe promised, the Navi Hashem promised me very clearly, there's nothing but to worry. And indeed, Kachavad, there was nothing but to worry. But there's a shus to feel stupid about it. I'm being Mekayim, I love the Torah by wearing the mask too. That is also part of the Yerosha Torah. The Chavis Havavis tells us that Shmuel HaNavi, when he was told by Hashem to go and anoint one of the sons of Yishai, ended up being David ben Yishai, Shmuel HaNavi said, Eich Eilech Misham Mashal Varagani, how could I go do what you told me? Shaul will hear that I'm going on a mission to anoint Yishai's son, he's going to kill me. And the Abishah told him, I have a trick for you. Take with you a calf and say that you're going to shech the calf. V'chulu v'chulu. Zav d'choy v'salvavis, Shmuel did not say, I'm going to the Abishah shlichis. I'm nothing to be scared. I'm doing a hirav. The Abishah himself told me to do this. He turned to Hashem and he said, how can I do this? I need to do things in a safe way. V'shmuel loy heikil li'ikones. Shmuel HaNavi did not allow himself to be lenient and do something which is a minor form of potential danger, even when he was commanded by Hashem, without doing something that would protect him. Kolshken, says the Chavis Adavis, when we don't have a mitzvah from Hashem, how wrong it is to go and rely on our own cheshbonos and leave it things to our own devices without doing the ishtadlus bedarkei ha'teva. Of course we have the concept of bitachon, and we believe everything is in the hands of Hashem, but we have an ability to impact that bitachon. The Medrash says, b'negei to the statement, hakabedei shemayim, the Medrash says on the pasuk, v'heser Hashem l'cho kol choyli, Hashem will remove all sicknesses. The Medrash says that there's 100 sicknesses that come to the world. Tzadik tes b'pshia v'echabedei shemayim. Listen carefully. 1 out of 100, 1% of sicknesses is from Hashem. 99 is due to our negligence. Negligence meaning that people are not protecting themselves from potential harms. The halacha is in Rambam. Again, we're focused on the Rambam Hilchos Shluchim. There's a bunch of partners in the business, and one of them became sick in the business, then they used the shared money to cure that partner as per arrangement. If the individual became sick due to his negligence, misrapi mishalatzme, then he has to pay for his healing costs. The Rambam at Pirush Shnayis explains, because if a person was negligent and because of that he became sick, he didn't take the preventative precautions. Kemisha peseya atzme biyad is like he went and he injured himself. Certainly if a person would go and injure himself with his hand, then he would have to pay for the cost of healing himself. So too, if a person doesn't take preventative measures. The Chinuch says there's a mitzvah in the Torah. Chinuch mitzvah tavkuf ben vav. Look it up. Titzaveinu ha-Torah lishmer mishchenesenu mekamesenu lebal yikreinu mavas bepshiyesenu. There's a commandment in the Torah. We have to protect our areas. That no death chas hashalom should come as a result of our negligence. Medical precautions are extremely important according to Torah. You're not allowed to even live, paskin the Rambam, in a place where there is no doctor. One of the 10 things that are required to be in every city. And there's no doctor, chol ish ein beroy for asa lager. You're not allowed to live there because of the chance that maybe someone will become sick. So you need to take proper precautions to make sure in advance that everything is safe. And we're talking about preventative. Like the pasuk says, b'negei to the mitzvah of shmiras haguf, he shomer lecha u'shmor nafshach ma'oid. Protect yourself. Protect yourself very much. A double lashon and the word moed. And this other pasuk too. V'nishmartem moed l'nafshi seichem. Zog de Klei Yakar. The Torah wants you to have a shmira gedoyla, a shmira kfula, an extra precaution. I think it was Reb Shmuel Salanta that said that if you wear a coat, that's one shmira. If you're wearing a mask plus a scarf plus a coat, that's nishmartem moed. That's hidur b'kuach nefesh. So shmira means protecting yourself in advance. That's the definition of the word shmira. Before Chas Hashem something happens. Like the Sefer Chassidim explains that there are two types of doctors. There's a Reife Chacham and a Reife She'ene Chacham. A Reife Chacham yodei lahazir shaloi avodei choli. A smart doctor warns you in advance which steps you should take that no sickness should happen at all. But what if I'm not in the mood? It's too hard, it's painful, it's annoying, it's difficult, it's hot. Well, that's if you would be in control of your body and you would have the authority to make those decisions, then you have a right. you have a, the assumption is, and that's a false assumption, that I can decide whether I should be listening to these instructions or not. But that's totally false. According to the Torah, it is not within your purview to make a decision whether you should listen to the guidelines, social distancing, mass hygiene. It's not your decision. The Torah says you have no ownership in your body. It's not your decision. Who has to make the decision? You have to listen to what the doctors are saying. You are the only one that could decide to actually implement it. You can't make a decision what I should do. This is the psak of the Rambam and the Alter Rebbe, that a person has ainle reshus al gufei klal, has no ownership of his body. Like the Ramah and the Alter Rebbe paskin specifically regarding a devil, regarding a plague, that you now rely on miracles, also l'sak and nafshe, you now endanger himself. You now say, mala acheinu malay b'kach, why are other people complaining about me? Eineni makbid. I don't care. I don't care. You are not allowed to say, I don't care. It's not up to you whether you care or not. The Be'er HaGoyle, the very end of Shulchan Aruch, the very last sin of Shulchan Aruch, talks about this. I think it's the very last Tav Chav Zayin, almost the end of the Shulchan Aruch, about Dina Sakana Safarshis, that's a Siyim V'chois Ma Shulchan Aruch. HaMesaken HaSatzmi, somebody puts himself in danger, Kilo Moyes Birtsoyim Beire, shows he despises what Hashem wants. Ve'ein HaRoitzi B'Avidosa, he's not interested in Avedis Hashem. Ve'ein Lecha Zilzul V'Avkirusa Yoysim Ezeh, there's no greater cheapening and hefkeris of cheapening your body and cheapening your neshama and cheapening the ratzon avodah more than this. A person, the Gemara says, a person is not allowed to put himself in danger. If a person puts himself in a state of danger, his merits are reduced. Hashem deducts from his chusim and makes them less because he has to protect you. The story of Achsim, they say that Chani Marazo, when he was young, he was a bit wild. He used to play blue shtick. Used to jump in front of a train and jump right back. You know, some teenagers like to do these wilde shtick, and they think they're very, very fast and quick. Flink, we call that in Yiddish. And they could run into a state of danger and quickly jump out of it and get out of it. So we're sitting by Fabreng, and the other person, Fabreng, often would talk about a topic, and the person who the topic was relevant to knew that it was about him. And then very often he picked on different type of behaviors, which was relevant for a certain person in the audience. So once Chanami Araz was there, other person, Fabreng, then he said, what does it mean when it says lo yamid b'makom sakana? Now let's say in a place where there's a wall, which is not a straight wall, because it might fall. Because maybe if Hashem will have to make you a miracle and reduce your schusim, you think, hey, it's okay, one schus less. No. You know, in your lifetime, one time you did a krisha shalmita, that was your top krisha shalmita. You really put your whole life and soul into this. You know, you're in the ilium kippur, you're under the chuppah, the peak, when you really, really gave it. That's chus. Now, we need to protect you. It's a time of sakana. We need to do a nes. So we'll take that chus away from you. That's chus to protect you from the nes. And now you don't have that chus anymore. That was Abba Persan's Torah. So, al pi Torah, a person's not allowed to put himself in danger, put other people's in danger, even to chashash sakana, and even a far-fetched sakana. The Pri Megadim says when it comes to sakana, we don't follow the regular rules of chazaka. People using chazaka language. When there's a chazaka, mistama, nothing will happen. We don't follow the rules of Roiv, says the Primi Gadim. We don't follow the rules of Svek Sveka. Normally, in Issa, when it comes to Kashrus, there's something called Svek Sveka. There's something called Roiv. There's something called Chazaka. Often you call the Rav, and the Rav says, yeah, it's okay, it's kosher. Why? Because we have a cloud called Stam Kenim Enim Bnei Yoyma. We assume that the Keli wasn't used within 24 hours. Why do you assume it wasn't used in 24 hours? And the person will ask the Rav, but maybe it was used within 24 hours. We can assume. You can assume it's based on a Svek Svega, Shafik Shemesh and Shtamesh Dabra Pegim. Svek is Ben Yoyim or not. I'm not going to go into the halacha right now. But there's a chance that maybe this pot was treif and treifed up your food. But we don't have to worry about it. That's when it comes to Issa V'Heter. Chamira Sekanta Nisur, when it comes to Inyana V'Pikurach Nefesh, it's much more severe than Issa V'Heter. And over here, we don't follow those rules of Chazaka and Reven Svek Svega, even far-fetched things. It's before the Pribu Gadam, it's already said in Afkes Reichel. It's even more so when we talk about sakana tibis. In halacha, we have sakana zgulis, sakana tibis. Sakana zgulis is, there's a belief that for some reason, bederech zgula, it's not a logical thing, but we know if you leave onions overnight, somehow it's considered a sakana without their peel. Then it's sakana zgashmias. So when it comes to those ruchnis type of sakanas that are brought down as svarim, sakana bederech zgula, we take all the precautions. According to halacha, sakana tibis is even more than sakana zgulis. If I'll be seichel, I'll be logic, I'll be science, I'll be studies, I'll be doctors, there's reason to be concerned, then even more we don't take into account chazak and roev and sfek sfek and safek rachik. And as the Torah's Chesed explains, that certainly it is the case when it's eshel asakam bekal, when it's easy to prevent yourself. In other words, what is the cost? What is it involved? Is there something you can do to protect yourself from the sakana? Or it's almost impossible, like people said, we have no options. So if we're talking about a lockdown, lockdowns are very, very hard. But if we're talking about wearing a mask, that's a possibility. And you don't even have to wear your mask all the time. Only when you're amongst people and only indoors. Or whatever, whatever the doctors say. I don't want to go into the medical stuff. I'm not replacing doctors, chas v'shalom. That's the last thing I want to do, is become a doctor. Don't want to become a rav either, but that's too late. So I got a message, not sure if this is important. So, when it comes to things that it's easy to fix, Davrish, which is Bekalef Shalasak, and Halach even more says you need to take the precautions. Now, these levels of risk we mentioned, there's Roiv, there's Miut, Miut HaMotzui, Miut HaDemiuta, Echad Mielef. Sometimes Halacha says, even if the risk is 1 in 1,000, a Yoldus, a woman that's giving birth, has a lot to be Mechal HaShabbat. Says Halacha, even though it's less than 1 in 1,000 chances that there'll be a risk, that'll be a danger, still she's allowed to be Mechal HaShabbat. So sometimes we take into account even less than Echad Mielef. We have our Halacha difference between Ruba the Issekaman and Ruba the Leisekaman. If there's something which we know right now, there's an active case in the community, that makes it much more serious than if there's potentially could be an active case. And even when we don't know an active case, if it's a Davar HaMotzi, the reason why Hatzolah is allowed to wear their walkie-talkies on Shabbos, even they don't know of an active case, but there's always active cases, never mind, is because it's Motzi, it's common that there'll be a call on Shabbos. So Halacha also talks about a Magefa, and the statement goes that a little bit of knowledge is dangerous, because people have said such stupid things which are so far-fetched and make no sense in Halacha. You know, they made a cheshbon that according to Halacha, a certain amount of people makes it a Magefa and a certain amount of people not. So the argument went, and this is one of the many foolish arguments that were said, and that we can't really now take the time and answer every single stupid argument, that according to these cheshbonis, if 45 people didn't die, Chas v'Shalom, in Crown Heights per day, it's not called a Devar and it's not called a Magefa. Never mind that it's not correct on every level, but what the argument seems to be, that if we would chas v'shalom have 44 people a day, this way this argument went was, we shouldn't do anything, we shouldn't do any lockdowns. If we can protect one yid's life, nefesh achas miyisrael is the oil mole. What kind of shtusin is that? The rules about devil, which don't even apply here also, when we call it a devil, when we don't. Certainly in a case when we know exactly that this is a virus, it's not something that we think maybe just happened by fluke, we know exactly why it happened, then the whole rules of Devar don't even apply. But if Chas v'Shalom people could die, it's just an avolim. And again, I just mentioned that as an aside. Going back, when it comes to the rules of Devar, sometimes the Halacha tells us that we make a difference between Hamachla b'chazaka, k'shamachla eina b'chazaka. The Tzemach Tzedek instructed to eat milchiks, to eat fleshiks during 9 days, and to not fast, or to fast with shiurim, even when there wasn't a machla b'chazaka, even when there wasn't a strong sickness, when the magefa calmed down. Now, when the magefa calmed down, and we were dealing with this after Purim Pesach, we started seeing it trickling down. At what stage do we say it's calmed down, it's gone? Halacha also says what to say about that. Of course, taking into account what doctors say, and I have no idea what doctors say about this. Halacha says you have to wait 30 days, and if 30 days nothing happens, then we can go back to normal. So, and that was then, which is why, indeed, doctors told us that we could go back to normal, because we've such amount of time passed where we really had no cases. But we have to wait 30 days. We shouldn't even have one case after there was an abundance of cases. But there's another thing that Halacha tells us, which is extremely relevant. Halacha tells us in a case where the shayaris metzuyis, where people travel from one place to another, the tshuvas chsam seva that says, if there's a churzik choyli, if the sickness has been in one place, and the malchias, the government's allowed to travel from one place to another, then all places it becomes a small global village. We are dealing with that right now. We see upticks in cases, Florida, Arizona, California, Oklahoma, Lahavdil, Eretz Yisrael, And we know people from there are coming here. If in the time of the Chassam Sofer the world was Shayaris Mitzuyas, how much more so now? So we can no longer say that we're protected because we know the other people came here. And even though Rabbanim and doctors have stated that people shouldn't come, but people are coming. I know people are coming. Many people came. Many people come to our community, many people come to other communities. People come to another community, and people from our community visit the other community. The Shayaris Mitzuyas. And once the Shayaris Mitzuyas, the Mechlala has a whole different concept. It's considered that there's a Choyli over here in the neighborhood too. We know that the Rebbe tells us how important it is in the Sichas and Giskoidish that we have to listen to what doctor says, and certainly not to be mezalzel and not to treat lightly what doctor says. Certainly in a case where we have lachrina, like us treating lightly, we're causing harm. The virus doesn't look for you. But if it has to show affects one person, then, and that person is infected, or automatically will affect another person. You cannot say anias nafshi yitzalti, or say that I don't care about myself. The Rebbe gave such strength to doctors, much more than generally the Torah gives us doctors. The Rebbe told us that, that from now onwards, at a certain point in time, we should stop asking the Rebbe questions. And when it comes to questions in refuah, his answer will come through the local doctors, through the Reifi Yedid, or the Reifi Mumcha, or two Reifi Yedid, or two Reifi Mumcha. So that means that for us as Chassidim, besides the fact that the Rebbe said in every place, the Chassidish Rabbanim in the place will be giving over his answers, in a gate to the refuah, the Rebbe said that if the local doctors, or the Rebbe said local, if the Reifi Yedid or Reifi Mumcha are giving guidelines, that is considered a guideline that we got from the Rebbe. And the Rebbe also told us a lot about the importance of preventative medicine. One of the Rebbe's major, major yarn that Rebbe pushes this all the time is that doctors should engage in preventative medicine. That we should be like it says in the pasuk, "Amachla shesamti mitzrayim lo yosim alecha ki ani Hashem refecha zakrashi lo yosim alecha melechatchila." Medicine has moved away from being reactionary to do things in advance to prevent. And the guidelines that are being told right now are to prevent future things. It's mishagas to wait and see. A lot of people are doing a wait and see approach. Now, we really don't know. It could be this is all just in the Havala, we don't have to worry. It could very well be. I don't know percentages. I don't know if there's a 99% chance that that's the case or 1% chance. But let's assume that it's 50-50. We don't know. So a lot of people say, look, we'll do a wait and see. Right now, once we see chas v'shalom hospitalizations, even worse than that, rachman l'slan hoy leisia, then people take it seriously. But then it's too late already, because the minute reached that stage and it's over. A couple days ago, let me share with you a story. I'm changing a couple details so people should know who, what, where, and when. A couple days ago, I walk into shul, I'm wearing a mask. I wear a mask because I follow what doctors say. And my doctor told me that you're supposed to now wear indoors, wear a mask, so I wear a mask. I'm not smarter than a doctor, I follow Shulchan. I try to follow Shulchan Aruch, and that becomes to me a Heirah Pi Shulchan Aruch, and I try to be makbid on the mask much more than any other mitzvah in the Torah because it's the Isha Pikuach Nefesh. And if it's an important mitzvah, and if the doctors are telling us that, so I'm listening to the doctors. I have a lot of good reasons why not to wear a mask, and I can name them, but I'm not going to. A lot of reasons why I shouldn't wear a mask, starting with the fact that it's extremely uncomfortable and doesn't let me think normally. But this is a hirah that the Torah says, and I'm following what I believe is the correct thing to do. So I walk into shul, and almost no one's wearing a mask. I don't know if no one or almost no one. And the yid approaches me. Now listen carefully. This yid is someone who lost two close relatives due to COVID-19. He sat shiva twice. This is someone who has another relative, and she's critically ill. And he comes and he asks me, why are you wearing a mask? And he wasn't being cynical. He just wanted to understand. Are you not feeling well? So I said, not feeling well. If I would be not feeling well, I'd be home. Chas v'shalom, you're not allowed to come to shul if you're not feeling well, we're told. And as I talked to him, he knows there was a case of reinfection and he knows this person infected someone else. He even knows who it is. But for some reason, he didn't think it was serious. And when I started talking to him, after 2 minutes of conversation, he went and put on his mask. And he stayed like that for the rest of davening. And then I saw that really we're lacking is hasbara. People is tochu meiroi seineim, they're just not seeing straight. If chas v'shalom hoy loy see this is what potentially some people think it is, then how are we going to be able to say yodeinu leshafchu zadam azeh that we were not responsible? How are we going to be able to say that? We're told that antibodies are declining. We're told that we're seeing reinfections. We're told that these people that are reinfecting are infecting other people too. We're told that that viruses work with waves. We're told so many things. So how do we know that we can say, calmly sit back and not listen? I don't know what we're supposed to be doing. I don't know. It's not my achrayus to make medical decisions. That's not my department. But I do know that al pi tradition we're supposed to listen to doctors. So this person, after we spoke to him, I spoke to him literally for 2 minutes. Mamash 2 minutes, probably even less. He understood. People need to understand what's going on. People asking questions. Why is 770 not closed down? And on the other hand, people are saying, why don't we just lock down all the elderly people? And many other such interesting questions. Now, like I said, Rabbanim are not doctors. And doctors are not Rabbanim either. A lot of doctors are reticent, and understandably so, from speaking with an authoritative voice. They don't want to give instructions and guidance to the community. They want to say advisories. Advisories which the media doesn't pick up on, and people don't pick up, because even when we hear there's a new infected case, it doesn't come across as it's a serious issue, but it comes across as advisory number 26 or number 37. That's how it's posted. And after we read that piece of news, we read the next piece of news that we saw on a website, on a WhatsApp, or we heard in the mikveh, whatever it is. So, and I understand why doctors don't want to come across with an authoritative voice, and they don't want to say things with a tone of, this is what you have to do. They're doctors. And they're doctors of their patients. They will tell their patients if they ask them. But at the same time, Rabbanim are doctors too. What has happened in the past when there was a risk? We heard from professionals that is a serious risk. And based on that, we said, do you believe that keeping the shul open is unhealthy and is not safe for our community? And if we're told that, I don't care what the spiritual ruchnis considerations. I'm not asking the doctors for the ruchnis considerations. Then because of that, we decided that shuls and mikvahs have to be closed because the doctors told us so. Now the doctors are telling us something different. They're telling us masks, social distancing, hygiene. They're telling us what they're telling us. So this is the guidelines that we operate. We're going to be operating within those guidelines. And we hope we're acting correctly. People find it difficult to listen. People feel they're being ostracized. People that walk around with masks, it's a bit, looks meshuggah. You look different than everybody else. They look like they're aliens. There's a lot of peer pressure. If everybody would be wearing masks, I'm sure if you walk into shul and you see everybody wearing masks, then you automatically would take the mask out of your pocket and put it on. If you walk into shul and you're wearing a mask and you see nobody's wearing a mask, unless you really have a Kabbalah soil to the Ratzon HaAveda, then you take the mask right away off. And so many people tell me they came to shul and they saw in the shul they davened, the Gabi wasn't wearing a mask, maybe they didn't wear a mask. Or they saw plain the plane wasn't wearing a mask. I know someone who goes around taking pictures of people that wear masks. Now, how does a person feel if pictures are being taken of them when that they're wearing a mask? It's interesting. Because the Shah is allowed to take a picture of a person against their will. It was a Yid called, I think his name was Shlomo Sobol. And he wrote Shailas to two people, to the Beis Chaim Zonnefeld and to the Rebbe Chavar. And many Shailas he wrote to both. So he presented the same Shailas. This was in those days, before we had phones, we could just take and snatch a picture like that. Are you allowed to take a picture of someone against their will? He wrote, and Rebbe Yitzchak Zonnefeld from the Rebbe Chavar, both of them, each one responded differently. My memory serves me correctly, the Rebbe Chavar was the one that said, you're not allowed to. A person has an ownership over his image. And he could say, I'd only take a picture of me. But even the shit that said you're allowed to was talking from the perspective of Geneva. In other words, does a person have a right to say that I own the rights and therefore you can't take a picture? From the point of Avis Yisrael, certainly not want to take a picture and cause sad to someone else who doesn't want to take a picture. But since people are doing those kind of things, so somebody feels uncomfortable. The Gabbayim are not taking it very, very seriously. So it makes it very, very hard for people. But you have to understand, doctors do not have a financial interest in saying right now, they didn't say that till now, over the last week, that we should start being cautious. They have zero financial gain. In fact, from a reputation point of view, it's a terrible thing for them. They're telling people to do things that people don't want to do. So here people have been relaxed, they let their guard down, and all of a sudden telling everybody to go back, not much like before. And this is extremely hard for people to say, to listen to this, and people don't want to hear this. And since they don't want to hear this, they talk down about these doctors. So the doctors are not getting anything. But we have to, at the end of the day, we have to turn around and say, if Chaz V'Sholem Hoyer Lysia, something happens, can we say, Yodeinu Leishaku Saddam Azah, I've acted correctly? And the mashal that I like to give is from seatbelts. Masks, hygiene, social distancing are like seatbelts. So when you go into the car, the recommendation is you have to wear a seatbelt at all times. That doesn't mean if you didn't wear a seatbelt, nothing happened, is a raya that you don't have to wear a seatbelt. It also doesn't mean that if you 1 second took off a seatbelt, that means who knows what's going to happen, chas v'shalom. It's a normal precaution that we take. Yes, at some times you might have difficulty with a seatbelt, you'll stop. You'll stop the car, but for that second, you're wearing your mask, and for a second you didn't wear your mask. You don't have to become so obsessed with this. It's not something to be obsessed with. Tachlis hazehidus shalom yisrael. It's a precaution that we take together with seatbelts. We have airbags and we have brakes. Now, people could say, why do we need a seatbelt? We have all of that. Because we take a range of different precautions to make sure we're protected from alle Seiten. So an argument that I've heard is now a doctor in Monroe who has a new regimen, which a lot of people are recommending. And a lot of studies are proving there's other studies that said it's no good. And now the studies were proven flawed. So now, since we know this particular regimen of medication works very, very well, so if we don't need to take precautions. Now, obviously, that's a shtus later volume, because we need to take it a full minas. We need to prevent the medicine. We need to have the seatbelts. We need to have the airbags. We need to have the brakes. And we need to make sure we don't speed. In fact, there's a study, it's called the Peltzman effect, that argues that sometimes when you implement new, the study is somewhat flawed, but I'm going to mention the study, when you implement new precautions, then people start being lax about other precautions. So if you tell people to wear masks, they start being makbir about social distancing because they know they have a mask. Or, and that's again, some of the arguments people say, the masks have holes. So what would you rather, the virus goes on your face or on the mask? So it's not 95% precaution is not the same as 0% precaution. Obviously, it depends on the level of precaution you take. So the Peltzman effect says that people, if they have seatbelts, they'll naturally speed more. And again, studies have proven that it's not exactly correct, that the metzius, after seatbelts were introduced, less accidents happened. Somebody once said, most accidents happened with people with seatbelts. It's true, because most accidents happen in cars, and most cars have seatbelts. Well, it's like the person said, that the shul is the safest place to be when a person has a heart attack in the hospital. Because 98% of people die in a hospital, and whatever, less than 1% die in a shul. But obviously that's a foolish argument, because the reason why 90% die in the hospital is the hospital has chitchila sick people. So the Peltzman effect is an argument. All that argument tells us is that if we are doing the precaution of a mask, we need to make sure we do the other precautions. We need to make sure we do all that. Again, I'm not here to say which precaution is the right precaution. I leave that up to the doctors purely. What I understand is that we're told we should avoid places where there are people from other cities. We should make sure to wear masks primarily indoors, and we should make sure we do social distancing. What about the argument of Shem Psoim Hashem? Doshu Beiravim, and halavai that would be the case, that since people are treating this lightly, not taking this seriously, Hashem will protect us. Amen, Hashem Shutaka protect us. But what does Torah say about that? So it depends. Poskim say that we only say Shem Psaim Hashem B'davir Rachik, something which is a far-fetched danger, in something which is impossible to be careful. You're acting in Minhagi Shalom. You're doing something which is a normal course of events, and it's impossible to be careful. But something where it's the chashash is not a davar rachik, or something which there is a way to be careful, there's something that you could do, and it's something that's easy to do, we don't use the klal of dashu b'ram shem epsayim Hashem. And certainly, Paiskim say that sakana tivis, where there's a natural danger that we're aware of, and we know that this danger, how it operates, or somewhat we know, as long as we don't know, but we know a certain pratim about it, then we should not apply the rule of shem epsayim Hashem, because if we would apply the rule of shem epsayim Hashem, then we would stop wearing seatbelts too, because until they introduced seatbelts, the Shem Epsayim Hashem rule was, don't wear seatbelts, it's Minhagish Eloilam, people drive and they get into accidents. But all Paiskim will tell you that nowadays we should wear seatbelts, because Bekal Epsher, it's possible to wear a seatbelt, and if it's possible, then Halacha tells us we have to take that precaution. We mentioned before that people are saying that the economy is shot and there's mental risks and all of that. Now, that has nothing to do with the precautions that we're telling. The precautions that we're being told right now are primarily not precautions that should affect us on an economical level, that should affect us on a mental level, the chulu. Maybe in some cases it does. But these are precautions that are normal precautions. And yes, halacha allows for some level of danger for parnasa. And parnasa in some ways might be more important than going to shul. In many ways, actually. The halacha, the pasuk says, ve'elov hu noises nafshe, that a person, an employee, when he does his work, he's out for his salary, and because of his salary, he's prepared to endanger his life. Zog de noide b'yehuda, that from here we see that if, when it comes to parnasa, that since the Gemara says, Allah bekevesh, nitla be'ilon, a person climbs up in a tree, which is a dangerous move, in order to first parnasa, therefore you have to pay the wages on time, because he's putting his life out. Zog de noide b'yehuda, from here you see, that when it comes to minhagi shalaylam, when it comes to something which is a normal way of doing business, a person is allowed to take a minimal risk for tzorich parnasa, b'deleka darka achrita, where there's no other way. So this is the concept in halacha. Is there a choice or is there no choice? So yeah, you're allowed to, let's talk about sakana ruchnas. Are you allowed to walk down the street? When there's a sakana ruchnas, you'll engage sites which you now are immara sites, which are forbidden according to halacha, to walk in places with the immara sites. If you're not allowed to walk in places in matter sites, we shouldn't be walking down the streets at all. Even the streets of Crown Heights. Not only other places where they're not from people. But the halacha is, depends. If we have another way how you can go, this is a straightforward Gemara. The Gemara says, if there's another way, and a person's going dafka in a way where he has in matter sites, and he can go route A or route B, and both are equal. And he's choosing route A, which is the immodest route. Rasha, he's considered a Rasha. If there's no other way to go, there's only one route, honestly, then it's against us. He doesn't have a choice. So when there's sakana ruchnis, we allow a person to engage if there's no other choice. And again, that has to be defined in every case, what's called lekadarka achirta. So too, when it comes to sakana's gashmis, if it's a minimal risk, where there's a minimal risk taken, and it's something which is minhag shalom, which is normally the way people run their business, where there's certain risks, work-related accidents could happen, then the Buddha says he allowed to. But he still says that engaging in such a business which has sakana is midde meguna, achzarius, visakanta, it's cruelty, it is dangerous, haskoda sevenoisiv, it causes a person's sins to be remembered, then best is yishko in betach shokit, hashkit, vishana, vabese, the best thing is that a person should be secure, tranquil, quiet, at home, and not go out to a work which involves certain risks. So yes, there is room in halacha to allow certain risks, but if there's a way to protect yourself against those risks, you mechuyav to protect yourself. And certainly when it comes to protecting other people, all we're talking about, you're allowed to take certain risks for yourself. But when it comes to other people, then if certainly you need to protect yourselves. And this is not including those reasonable risks that you're supposed to be taking. The Rishalmi says he's supposed to be worried. What people worry about. Why do we not eat the end of the challah? So there's a machlokes where this comes from. There's no official source that says you're not supposed to eat the end of the challah. Some people say it's because people forgot to do afreshes challah, and it's a good way to know if afreshes challah was done or not. You just don't want to eat the edge. The Meches Yitzchak writes, he doesn't know the source, but we need to worry what people are worried about. So even when it comes to these far-fetched gula stuff, if people are worried about it, we'll worry about it too. So there's a certain level of risk that people are prepared to take. In fact, there's a serious discussion in halacha, how do we know which risks you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, not to be mechal Shabbos, is it Tzitzili Ezer, Bikr Smeisha, Mishlam Zaman Oribach. Mishlam Zaman gives a cheshbon and he says, the level of sakana is something that people during the weekday would worry about it, if they would be nivel v'nifcha, they would be scared, then a Shabbos you're allowed to do. That's the gauge that he gives. So that we often take into account what people say, and often people look at, if you know when there's the terrorists in the south in Eretz Yisrael throw rockets, so they stop all the schools. A few days later, they go back to school. Now that doesn't mean that there's no risk, but there's Eis Shalom and there's Eis Muhammad. There's Eis Shalom in terms of a Magefa, and there's a time when there's more concern for Magefa. Doctors tell us we can let our guard down. Some people are critical of that, and everybody has a right to have their opinion. But we can understand, because now the level of risk has gone down. This, in halacha, we have a concept called gzeira and gzeira li gzeira. So at some stage we said, don't have any minyanim. Don't even have aldo minyanim. Don't even have porch minyanim. And at some stage we said, okay, porch minyanim, okay, the risk has gone down. We need to gauge the level of risk and understand what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. But that doesn't mean that if people are not doing it because kashal koyach hasav, because people have no koyach. Normally, if people are not concerned, that means the risk is pretty low. So that's the way to determine what's the risk. But if people are not concerned just because we went through one round, we're not interested in again going through this round, that's not what we call people not concerned. People not concerned means normal day-to-day course in the course of behavior, the certain risks that we encounter on a regular basis. And yes, we do take into account, we fly, even though there are risks. We drive in a car, even though there are risks. But we take the proper precautions. So when doctors are giving us new precautions to take, we ought to take those precautions too. We can't lock people up in their houses. The Rambam, talking about the Rambam, the Simur Rambam, the Rambam says how, according to the Rebbe spoke many, many times, that according to the Rambam, imprisonment is not a punishment al pi Torah. Ha'adam, the Rambam says also, ha'adam himudini, a person is a social person. Forcing a person to be locked down is one of the worst things you could do to a person. We can't say, lock down only those people that are at high risk. First of all, we don't know who those people that are high risk are. Nobody knows. Second of all, that is wrong. It is wrong al pi Torah. Lockdown is not a correct thing al pi Torah. To stay locked up, like someone said, lock up forever and ever. Don't go to the store. Just stay at home for the rest of your life. Now, that's a very foolish argument. It's not a Torah argument. The Torah says you shouldn't think only about yourself. A chassid especially doesn't even allow his nails to be flushed, but he rather burns his nails. He doesn't, the Gemara says that he takes his nails, he doesn't bury them, excuse me, the Gemara says, and he burns his nails, even though it's risky for himself to burn his nails, because he knows, because we know this is a sakana if you burn parts of your body, but he knows that it's a sakana for other people from his nails, and even though it's buried, but it might be uncovered, he goes to the extra mile not to chas v'sham harm someone else. We're a chassidish community. The Alter Rebbe said the definition of a chassid is that he's moiser nefesh l'toivus hazulas. He gives away his life for the benefit of someone else. And they asked him, where do you see this in the Gemara? So he said it amok in the Gemara. The Gemara says, sorry for a chassid. If somebody burns his nails, he's a chassid. Because did you ever encounter someone, a pregnant woman that miscarried because of a nail? Tell me the truth. Did that ever happen? It's so far-fetched. And it's what we call a sakonas gulis. Sakonas gulis in halacha is less serious than sakana tibis. It's not a natural danger. And yet we'll go the extra mile, chas v'shalom, we're not even going to bury the nails because we want to be a chassid, even if it could cause harm to us, chas v'shalom. Telling people that are elderly or high-risk people they can lock down, that is a sakana for them. But for us, taking out precautions is not a sakana for us. So what we end up with is we need to make a keli al pi derech hateva. We need to do the proper kalim, do the right vehicles, and if we make a keli, that itself prevents the machla from coming. The Rambam says, if you engage in the practices that I write in my Sefer Hilchos Deis, ani ariv loy, I guarantee you, she'ein ebeil dechayli kol yom, you'll never become sick for the rest of your life. If we do these kalim, even if it doesn't make sense, we're following the Rosh HaToyah, that is a keli. A keli is a bracha. A keli is mamshech oir. A keli isn't only a receptacle to receive the bracha milamayla, the keli actually brings down the bracha milamayla. It's not only a keli for bracha, but it brings the bracha. So the Eivish to help, we should come to the time, lo yisham, lo rav, lo melchama, lo choli. Now the whole world is ready. We all know, maloich, ala oilam, kulvich, vedech. We know that all we have, ein lonu, amal, yishoyim, all the simonim of the end of Masechta Sota has been mekuyim. We only can rely on the Eivish to himself. We do all the systems al pi Torah, but we know ultimately it's in the hands of Hashem. It could be a small virus that could change the structure of the entire world. Mikseya Olam va'at katseu. And we know it's all b'yad Hashem. Galei kvod malchus v'aleinu mehira. We know the whole world is talking about Mashiach. The whole world says we need a new world order. Everybody's saying that the old system sucks. It's not a good system. They're using the term defund the police. What they're really saying is mazlayu chaza. They don't know what I'm saying right now, but that's what they really mean. That's what they're milamayla, what it really means. We need to come to the time of Shiva, Shavtai, Kibir, Shayna, Vyatai, Kvatkhila. A time where there will be no police, nobody giving authority from, as an authority from above and telling us what to do, because the whole world will be a keli to the Eivish Tizratzen. We're heading close to that time. Slowly but surely, the world is realizing that we can't rely on anything else but on Hashem, and the world is realizing that the way to do things right now is bedarke noyim, bedarke shalom, milamata lamaylo. So the Eruv Shofim should come to that time. We should have the gula mitzvah shleima v'yahavchu yomim elu v'sasam v'simcha, and we'll celebrate the simchas Torah, the simchas gemaras shel Torah, the ending of Torah. Umala aretz deyas Hashem. Just like one virus could fill the whole entire world, the world will be full with deyas Hashem, with a positive virus which will infect the whole entire world. Kamai, take it from Yad Mamish, like the water covers the sea, full only that, there is no place for anything else. Kamayim, layom, mechasim.